turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, very familiar chapter to, not to most of God's people, but to the people here. It's a familiar chapter. We have the record of Mephibosheth, and we've looked at this and made several different applications in the past. We just want to look at it again this evening. Read the entire chapter. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" He said, "Thy servant is he." The king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. On the ship Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son," really his grandson, "all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. And therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and shall bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, my master's son, shall eat always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. And this is a very beautiful, magnificent scene, one of the most beautiful in all Word of God. It's a historical account about a king, David, and a lame man by the name of Mephibosheth. The account shows us a king showing grace and love and compassion and kindness to the family of his archenemy. It's also an account of a family member of an enemy of the king's, how he's valued by the king, how he is restored by the king, how he's brought into the king's family, how he is received into that family. So it's an account of a family member, again, of an enemy of the king, and he's cared for and provided for by the king. But again, as we all know, it's much more than a historical account. It's an illustration. It's an illustration of several things, but most of all, it's an illustration of saving grace. It's an illustration of God's abundant mercy and the wondrous love that God shows to the undeserving, miserable sinner. So in viewing this, it it is important to realize that the illustration is so in all illustrations or types in the Word of God, is not equivalent to what is illustrated. In other words, what is illustrated far surpasses the illustration. The truth is, you cannot adequately illustrate the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. The first thing we want to look at is the desire of David. His specific desire is very plainly stated. We know that Saul, of course, had been a bitter enemy to David. He relentlessly pursued David. Desire was, of course, to kill David. But Saul has been killed. Saul's son, Jonathan, has been killed. In fact, Saul's family has been so decimated by the judgments of God that David has to ask, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? In verse 1. And he repeats that question again in verse 3. So David is seeking any possible survivor of Saul's family. Why? Why is he doing that? Why is he seeking a survivor of his archenemy? Well, you would think that he wants to either kill him or to imprison him, but that's not the case. It's not his desire to imprison them. It's not his desire to kill him. He's seeking a survivor, verse 1, that I may show him kindness. And then again in verse 3, that I may show the kindness of God unto him. These are amazing, extraordinary words. They're words that ought to get our attention, especially if you study the background of Saul and how he pursued David. You see that these are words of grace. These are words of love. It's important to take note here, and in viewing it as a type or an illustration of salvation. It was the king. It was King David who took the initiative. It wasn't the survivor of Saul's family that took the initiative. It was not Ziba, the servant of Saul, that took the initiative. It was David. It was the king who took the initiative. And again, the entire account of the restoration of a family member of an enemy develops around this fact. David took the initiative. You see that all through the Word of God. When salvation is illustrated, it is God who takes the initiative in the salvation of a sinner. That's why we read, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Secondly, we see David's desire. He wants to show kindness to a survivor of Saul's family. What moved David to have this desire? Verse 1, for Jonathan's sake. I want to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. Wanted to show kindness to a member of Saul's family. Not because of any merit in Saul. Not because of any merit in any of Saul's family members. He says, I want to show kindness to a member of Saul's family. And I want to do this for Jonathan's sake. For Jonathan's sake. That's where the merit is. The merit is not in Saul. The merit is not in Mephibosheth or any other member of Saul's family. The merit is in Jonathan, for Jonathan's sake. Now that takes us back, we're not going to go back there for time's sake, but it takes us back to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And we know that Jonathan was the son of Saul. That makes Mephibosheth the grandson of Saul. And Jonathan befriended David, and their souls were knit together. And we see back in 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4, that David and Jonathan entered into a covenant. This was before Mephibosheth was even born. And it was a covenant, and David swore that he would show kindness unto Saul's house. Again, this was a covenant between David and Jonathan. So now David, Jonathan is dead, desires to show the kindness of God unto any possible survivors of Saul's house, not because they were worthy, but because of Jonathan. But because Jonathan was worthy. That's where the merit is. Jonathan, of course, pictures Jesus Christ. That's where the merit is. It's in Jesus Christ. Then we see he has this desire. The moving cause of the desire is a covenant that he made with Jonathan, which goes back, of course, to the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. Let's look at the object of David's quest, which is even more amazing than his desire to show kindness to a member of Saul's family. Now in verses 2 and 3, David called Ziba. Ziba was a former servant of Saul's, and he asked him. He figured if anyone would know, certainly Ziba would. Is there any of the house of Saul? Is there anyone left of the house of Saul? Is there anyone who has survived God's judgment from the house of Saul? That I may show kindness, that I may show the kindness of God unto him. And then Ziba, again, verses 2 and 3, proceeds to tell David of a son of Jonathan, again by the name of Mephibosheth. We are told in verse 6 that his name is Mephibosheth. The very name signifies a shameful thing. That is, he was disgraceful. He was despicable, reprehensible. He was abominable. The very name accurately portrays ourselves. It accurately portrays man's sinful nature. We're all, at Isaiah 64, verse 6, as an unclean thing, thoroughly polluted in the filth and in the dominion of sin. We're told in Romans 3, verse 9, that all are under sin. This is pictured in Mephibosheth. Romans 3, verse 10, there's none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3, verse 11, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Romans 3, verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's no profit in Mephibosheth. He's of no use to David. He's unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there we are, thoroughly depraved and corrupt. Our hearts, Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, are deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. So man by nature is Mephibosheth. We are by nature Mephibosheth. A shameful thing. The very statement, "For all have sinned." That's shameful. We are shameful beings. And we see this is the one whom David desired to show kindness to. Not just any kindness, but the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake. And so it was with you and I. God desired to show us His kindness, His love. Not because we deserved it. Not because anyone in our family merited it for us. But because of Jesus. For Jonathan's sake. For Jesus' sake. Now we see here that Mephibosheth was a member of a destitute, disgraced, and doomed family. He belonged to the family of Saul, the arch enemy of David. And David certainly would have been justified in putting Mephibosheth to death. He would have been justified in killing any of the offspring of Saul. So it is with you and I. God would be completely justified to send us to hell. Completely. So David was justified to destroy Mephibosheth. But his desire was not to destroy him. His desire was to show the kindness of God to him on account of Jonathan. And so it is with you and I. God desired to show us His kindness, His love on account of Jesus. Now Mephibosheth was a fugitive from David. We learn in 2 Samuel 4 in verse 4 that when Mephibosheth was 5 years old, news came of Saul and Jonathan's death. Mephibosheth is 5 years old and his father is dead. His grandfather is dead. David has ascended to the throne. And Mephibosheth and his nurse flee in terror from David because they knew what they deserved at the hands of David. They were afraid of David. And they were seeking to stay out of his way. So it was with us. The unsaved sinner is afraid of the Lord. Not the Lord that they've created in their imagination, but the Lord that is described in this book. They're afraid of Him. And they flee from Him. And they do everything in their power to stay out of His way. And just as Mephibosheth was seeking to get away from David, so we were seeking to get away from God. Just as Mephibosheth wanted absolutely nothing to do with David, I didn't want anything to do with God. It was while in this state, Mephibosheth and his nurse are fleeing, David has ascended to the throne. It was while Mephibosheth was in that state that David desired to show him the kindness of God. Certainly David knew that if there was any survivors left, they would be hiding from him. They would be fleeing from him. So he asks the question, is there any left? The house of Saul. Now in 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4, we see that when the nurse and Mephibosheth were fleeing, that Mephibosheth fell and he became a cripple. We read in verse 3 of our text that he was lame on his feet. We read in verse 13 of our text that he was lame on both his feet. And again, 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4, it was while he was desiring to get away from David that he fell and became lame. We too became lame through a fall. Through the fall of Adam, we became lame. The very word lame implies inability. Mephibosheth is a crippled. You and I were crippled. We had an inability to come to God. We had an inability to walk in His ways. But it was while we were in that condition, trying to stay out of the way of the Lord, was while we were in that condition that God desires to show us His kindness. Now notice also the place where Mephibosheth lived. David had asked Ziba, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Ziba proceeded to tell David of Jonathan's son Mephibosheth. And then in verse 4, David asked, "Where is he? Where is he?" Ziba answered, "He's in the house of Maker in Lodabar, a city east of the Jordan River in northern Palestine. It was characterized by its barrenness, by its wastelands, by its devastation. It was really a place in the midst of a wilderness, Lodabar. It means the place of no pasture. That's where Mephibosheth lived as a crippled man. He lived in the place of no pasture, a place of desolation, a place of despondency and shame, a place of helplessness and fear. So there's Mephibosheth, a shameful man, belonging to a disgraced and doomed family, a fugitive from the king, and he has this severe disability, and he lives in a place where there's no pasture, and he's content to remain there as long as he's away from David, as long as he's away from the king. And so it was with us. We lived in the land of barrenness and waste and devastation. And the truth is, we were very content to remain there as long as we could stay away from God, as long as we could stay away from the king. And even if I wanted to leave there, I couldn't, because I had this problem. I was crippled, a lame man, just like Mephibosheth. So we see David's desire toward a member of Saul's family. We see the object of his quest, this man Mephibosheth. Now we want to notice David makes provision for Mephibosheth. He makes provision to bring Mephibosheth to himself. So there's King David. He's upon his throne. He has a purpose in his heart to show kindness unto Mephibosheth. Why? For Jonathan's sake. But there's this obstacle. There's several obstacles. Mephibosheth belonged to a rebellious family who would naturally flee from David. He would have been afraid of David, and he would hide from David. And on top of all that, Even if he wanted to, he could not come to David because he was lame on both of his feet. And so we belong to a rebellious family, God desiring to show us kindness for Jesus' sake. But we belong to a family at enmity with the Lord. And we were afraid of the Lord. And we basically were in hiding from God. On top of all that, we had this inability. So David makes provision to bring Mephibosheth from Lodabar to himself. Again, keep in mind 1 Samuel 18, the covenant between David and Jonathan. Due to a covenant that David and Jonathan entered into, again, before Mephibosheth was born, David had purposed, before Mephibosheth was even born, to show kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. So he's got, you have this covenant, you have this purpose with the king. Now just sit back and hope that one day Mephibosheth would just stop being afraid. And would one day stop hiding from him and come to him. No, David didn't sit and hope that one day Mephibosheth's fear would just go away and that he would just somehow make his way to David. But notice verse 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out from Lodabar. David has purposed to show kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. Would he just make Mephibosheth an offer and then leave it to Mephibosheth? Leave it to the will of Mephibosheth? Would he just give Mephibosheth an invitation to come to him? Telling him, Mephibosheth, I know you're crippled, but you just do the best you can to get out of Lodabar and come to Jerusalem, where I am. You just do the best you can. That's not what David did. And it's not what God did. It says David sent and fetched him out from Lodabar. And that's what God did for you and I. He sent for us, and he fetched us out of Lodabar. David wasn't going to just simply offer Mephibosheth some assistance. Did David forward Mephibosheth a pair of crutches or a wheelchair and tell him to just do the best he can? I've given you everything to come, now you come. No. He sent and he fetched him. And that's what God does with the sinner. He sent and he fetched him out from Lodabar. What does that mean? That means that the one he sent had to go to Lodabar. Had to go where Mephibosheth was. And so it is with you and I. When God saved our soul, God came to where we were. Why? Because he had this purpose to save our soul. And he didn't leave it to you and I because we'd still be in Lodabar. But he sent and he fetched us. So Mephibosheth is then brought into the presence of David and blessed abundantly. Now notice verse 6. Now it's important to read verse 5. David fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now, in the context of what we just read in verse 5, now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. I had someone tell me one time, it says right there that Mephibosheth came. Yeah, but he came as a result of what? David sending and fetching him. That's how he came. You could pick me up, put me in a car, drive me 100 miles from here, and you could technically say that I've come. And that's what we have here. As a result of Mephibosheth being fetched, Mephibosheth was now come unto David. You'll never be saved without coming unto Christ. But you'll never come unless he fetches you. Out of Lodabar. John 6:44 makes that pretty clear. So this was a direct result of David taking the initiative to fetch him. He's now been brought from Lodabar, the place of no pasture. And certainly, now put yourself in Mephibosheth's place. He thinks he's about to lose his life. What else would David want Mephibosheth for? So he immediately falls on his face in verse 6 and did reverence. And then David said, Mephibosheth. And then there's a period there. Mephibosheth. He's begun to remove the fear from Mephibosheth. He speaks peace unto him. Verse 7. He says, fear not. So he was obviously afraid. He was trembling. Now, in my own mind, and I don't know if it happened this way, but in my mind, I see David putting his hand upon Mephibosheth ever so gently and saying, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. And there was comfort in that touch. But there was comfort in the tone that David spoke his name, Mephibosheth. And he says, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. He wants Mephibosheth to know why he is going to show him the kindness of God. It is for Jonathan's sake. Mephibosheth, it has nothing to do with you. You did not merit what I'm about to do, what I'm about to bestow upon you. Amen. This is for Jonathan's sake, and so it is with you and I, for Christ's sake. Then he went on to say in verse 7, we see there was an inheritance for Mephibosheth. And will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. David didn't have to do that. But because of a covenant entered into before Mephibosheth was born. This is repeated in verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. So Mephibosheth has restored to him the forfeited inheritance. The heritage which belonged to Saul had been lost to his family. And Mephibosheth could do nothing to regain it. Nothing. But David, for Jonathan's sake, restores the inheritance unto Mephibosheth. And you and I, we lost far more than Mephibosheth. We lost a paradise life when Adam fell. But God has provided restoration for Jesus' sake. because of who Jesus is. So there was a portion granted to Mephibosheth in verse 7. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now what a contrast that is from Lodabar, the place of no pasture. Sent and fetched him out of Lodabar. And now he's given him a place at the king's table. So he's gone from the place of no pasture to feasting at the king's table. Notice also at this table there was an honored position for him. Verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant shall so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Not just he shall eat at my table, but he shall eat there just as if he were my own son. For Jonathan's sake. Again, it's all for Jonathan's sake. So this is we can put ourselves, you and I that are saved, we can put ourselves in this story, in this account. We can go back where we were in Lodabar. And God sent for us. How did he do that? The person of the Holy Spirit. And he fetched us out of Lodabar. And he brought us into the presence of the Lord and saved our soul. Inheritance was restored. Life was restored. And we have fellowship with the King. We find everything we need at the king's table. And we're not just there as a guest, but as a son, as his daughters. So everything we need to strengthen us, to encourage us, we find at this table. Mephibosheth is now sitting at the table of the king. That's our life now. There's no need to go back to Lodabar. Why in the world would you want to go back to Lodabar? That's a mystery to me. Why anybody who's been brought out of Lodabar and has been adopted into the family of the king and now can feast with the king, why in the world would you want to go back and live in a place of no pasture? But yet many seem to like that's what they want. It's like, well, I've tried the king's table, I'm going to go back. God help us never, ever to even have a desire for Lodabar. If we even have a desire, we need to pray, Lord, forgive me. You brought me out from there. That we wouldn't even have a desire. That we wouldn't even want to look back there. But thank God every single day that the Lord sent and fetched us out of Lodabar. And again, he sent and fetched us out of a place far worse than Lodabar. A place called sin. And he sent and he fetched us. And there's coming a day, very soon, where he's going to fetch us once again. And that, of course, is in his coming. He's going to come. And he's going to fetch us out of this world. And then it can be said, I'm come. And there we'll be in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful salvation that we have. And it's pictured all through the Word of God. Brother Jim, if you'd come.